So we're continuing our theme, looking at being a Christ-like church. We had a break last week for Remembrance Sunday, but we're continuing on our theme. It's our penultimate week. We finish next week, and then we have Advent, which means Christmas is coming. I saw my first Christmas tree up in a house yesterday. Went to Leamington Spa. They do Christmas earlier than the rest of the nation. It's like, not yet. We haven't even got Advent yet. Take it down. Anyway, that's just me being grumpy. We're continuing to look at what it means to be a Christ-like church. For our sermon series recently, we've built on our part of our new vision statement. Let me remind it. Let me read it for you. The vision of West Kirby United Reformed Church is to grow a relevant, Christ-like church that serves our community. It will pop up at some point. Is it? Okay. What we've done is we've used statements from a piece of writing called This Is Your House, which have 26 statements about what a Christ-like church looks like. And we've been thinking about that in the eldership. Already we've looked at what does love look like, what our welcome looks like, to whom are we called, our basis for who we are, our core foundations. And today we're thinking about working together with one another in covenant relationships. In our Father's house, says this, our dream is a church where, I don't know if it will appear. Yeah. Marvellous. Now then, we're looking at these statements today, some more briefly than others. Our dream is a church where the love of God in people's hearts is so strong that gossip and backbiting is rejected, where people are talked up, not talked down, and where unity is more important than winning an argument. Let's pause there before we go on to the next one. I wonder what you think of that. Are we a church that's marked out by gossip? Some people are going, no. By talking about people behind their back, I'm not saying you are. I'm just posing the question. Are we a church where we seek to encourage people, to build people up? Or do we put people down? Where love is the standard modus operandi, where we want people to thrive, where we want people to be accepted and loved and welcomed. It says where unity is more important than winning an argument. Sometimes, does it look like that in church meeting, I wonder? Church meetings are always fun, aren't they? We love a church meeting, don't we? Hey, yeah, I think I was being slightly facetious there, maybe. I don't know about you. How do we approach that when we know that there are lots of us who've got different opinions on how things should be done? How do we live and love one another when perhaps we don't agree with one another? Perhaps on theology, perhaps on practicalities. That's the thing we're going to be looking at. When we covenant together, what does that look like? To still love people when you think they're wrong. Now, those of us who are married will know what that feels like. That's not just me. I'm always wrong. But all of us in relationships know that it's give and take, isn't it? It's whatever relationships, parents to work colleagues to girlfriends and boyfriends, to partners, to whoever. How do we still love one another when maybe we don't agree? One of the things I love about the United Reformed Church, and there are many things I love about the United Reformed Church, is the fact that in a church meeting, we seek to hear what God says together. And there is a unity in doing that together. And often, and I'm sure that you will say this is true for you, that I've seen a whole change in a meeting where you think it's going to go one way, where people are together seeking the common good, and then it goes a completely different direction. Because you've sought God and sought unity above anything else. I would rather have a united congregation any day, one that loves one another despite of differences. I'd rather have that than a congregation where everybody can theologically debate correctly. I'd rather have a congregation that loved one another despite it all than anything else. A congregation that's marked out by their love of God and love for one another. Because as Simon said, that shows. They'll know we're Christians. I'd written this down, by our love. Holy Spirit moment. That shows. That's attractional. People see a difference when you love one another. So that's our first statement. Our second one is this. We dream of a church where personal preference always gives way to divine purpose, and our desires always make way for God's will. I'm going to say something really shocking. This may come as a revelation. This is God's church. Really? Before it's a United Reformed Church, before it's the church that you've been to since Adam were a lad, perhaps, before anything else, this is God's church. Before it belongs to us, it belongs to him. Anybody agree with me? Good. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes when I'm sitting daydreaming about what my ideal church would be, as Rebecca said earlier, it probably would involve donkeys every celebration. Can we have a donkey for Palm Sunday? And a donkey at Christmas? Wouldn't that be awesome? Dan would clear up after it. He's not here. I can say that. So we'd have a church full of donkeys and Gary Barlow, but that would not be God's will for this church. It's God's church above everything else. And his will trumps ours. The next one, we dream of a church where every member gets excited with the thrill and buzz of destiny. Don't quite know what that means. And gives 100% to the will of God. I don't know, are you people who are excited by the thrill and buzz of destiny this morning? I think that's a bit of a... I'm not quite sure what that means. I like the idea that we're all united together in a common purpose that sees something kingdom-like. That you're building something that's not just here, but it's also, through God's grace, eternal. Our next one, we dream of a church where the people meet together where and when it suits God's purpose in reaching the lost. So it's not just about church on a Sunday, it's about church every day in the community. So, you know, if you want church down the pub for men's breakfast, that's church in the pub. Your third Thursday, church in the pub, where you're being the body of Christ, not in our building, but out there. Toddlers on a Friday morning, that's church. Not in the way we do church on a Sunday, but it's still church. We're sharing the love of God. So that could mean church in the concourse. It could mean church in your house. It could mean church in different places where we're meeting people where they are at. It says, we dream of a church where the weight of the work does not rest on the shoulders of a few, but everyone shares the load and plays the part. Yes. Simon and Ali could be our sermon illustration today. I'm so glad we chose today for you to become church members, coming and joining us. And they've covenanted in their promises to walk beside us, to work with us, to be family with us in building the kingdom in this place. The other day, I said to Rebecca that we were going to be thinking about teamwork this morning in church. And I often think she's wiser beyond her years. She looked at me, it was breakfast time, she went, "Oh yes, Mummy. Teamwork makes the dream work." I went, "What?" She went, "Teamwork makes the dream work." And I thought, "Oh, that's wise." Until I realised that it's some sort of mantra that she's learnt at school. Teamwork makes the dream work. I googled it and there was so much about teamwork making the dream work. I thought it was a moment of God had inspired her, but clearly not. Teamwork makes the dream work. It's a bit cheesy, that, isn't it? Bit cheesy. Teamwork makes the dream work. But you see the point I'm making. So I got a bit, once I'd found that, I got a bit distracted in my sermon writing. I'm a visual person, so I Google imaged teamwork. And we're going to show you some pictures of what Google thinks a team looks like. We'll see if you agree. The first one, I don't quite know what they're doing. I think they may be on their knees praying. Yes? No? Okay, we like that one. Next one, having a holy huddle. I don't know what they're doing. What they're doing? Pep talk. They're having pep talk. It's a rugby scrum. Oh, I see. Okay, teamwork, different image. Now, the teamwork hokey cokey. That seems like, I'm not quite sure. You see where this is going? Downhill from here, right? I don't know if that's a kind of a, hey! Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a high five Mexican wave sort of thing. Yeah. I don't know if that's a praising God teamwork or a wee teamwork. I don't know if we look like that to people coming in. It's the birthday hat teamwork. I don't know if that would be my illustration of teamwork. I don't know about you. And have we got one more? Or is that it? Was that the last one? Okay. I wonder if any of those speak to you about what a team looks like. It's all a bit daft. It doesn't really reflect on what we want to say. So let's be reminded of what God says in what the lovely Jeff read to us. About people working together, about people playing their part. In today's scripture, Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to build a team that works effectively for building the kingdom of God. He had gifted people around him. They didn't fall short in any of the gifts. They just hadn't learned to use their gifts in the best way and the best abilities for the good of all. Some would say, "I follow Apollos." And the others would say, "Well, no. That's not about Apollos, it's about Paul. I follow Paul." And so that led to bickering amongst them. Exactly the opposite of our first statement about building people up. Always, they bickered, no, it's about Apollos. No, it can't be Apollos. Oh no, he's non-league. We follow Paul, Premier League. And so they would argue amongst themselves about whose ways were best. And they weren't really using their gifts to the best use. Some were inclined to think that some were more important than others, that their work was important and that devalued the work of other people. And Paul went, "Come on, church, you're acting like the world does. You're not thinking spiritually. We're all in this together. We're all working towards the same thing." And he used some illustrations from building and architecture and also illustrations from agriculture to illustrate his point. He talks about planting and watering. "I plant the seeds," says Paul. "That's where my gifts are," he says. "In speaking and explaining, in oratory, in debates, I gather people so they will listen. I plant the seeds. That's my job." But Apollos, he's really great at watering the seeds, at developing the seeds that I've planted, at nurturing new believers, at bringing them on. He says, "We're not in competition. We're working together. He's helping me. I'm helping him. And he says, I laid the foundation. Someone else is building on it. Paul plants the seeds, Apollos waters it. He backs up Paul. He preaches the same message. He affirms what has been taught. They're in it together. They're a team. God uses teams with different abilities, different skills, and we know this, that in any team, there are no superstars. There are no people who say, well, it's all about me. Come and see how great I am. That shouldn't happen in a team. As it says, church is a team sport. I'm not great at sport, you may have noticed. I can do church as sport if that's the only sport I have to do. This is the team I could thrive in, as long as you don't make me run anywhere. This isn't the only example of great teamwork in the Bible. Off the top of your head, from what you know of Scripture, can anyone come up with a example of good teamwork in the Bible? Putting you on the spot. Building the ark. Well done. What did you say? Paul and Barnabas. Feeding the 5,000. It involves feeding. I like that. Saul and David. There are lots of them. We could actually, if we put our thinking caps on, we could think of lots. Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days. He didn't do it by himself. Moses had a team of leaders around him. Jesus had 12 disciples. Paul and Silas, Barnabas, Gideon's team. We could go on. I was reading the Old Testament this week, and I just came across, again, the story of the Tower of Babel. Not the most perfect story in the Bible, granted, but that was a team that was united in a common goal. That was a team who achieved something by working together. Let me quickly tell you the story. This is from the New Living Translation. At one time, the whole world spoke a single language and used the same words. As the people migrated eastward, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began to talk about construction projects. Come, they said. Let's make great piles of burnt brick and collect natural asphalt to use as mortar. Let's build a great city with a tower that reaches to the skies, a monument to our greatness. They will bring us together and keep us from scattering all over the world. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, if they can accomplish this when they have just begun to take advantage of their common language and political unity, just think of what they will do later. Nothing will be impossible for them. Now, it wasn't a perfect story, as we know, but the Babylonians took advantage of teamwork and collaboration. Even though they were united in the wrong motive, they wanted to glorify themselves, when they worked together, it did seem that they could achieve marvelous things. When everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were, and putting their faith in practice, the sky is the limit. Just imagine if we use that as an analogy. The sky's the limit for them, but how much more so when God is in the picture? When God is partnering, where we are working together. I was reading this week about bees. There is a link here. Stay with me. And I read this fascinating fact about honeybees. It was on the internet, so it must be true. Right. It says, on a warm day, any beekeepers here that can clarify if this is right? I don't know if anyone's an expert on beekeeping. On a warm day, about half the bees in a hive stay inside, beating their wings, while the other half go out to gather pollen and nectar. Because the, of the beating wings, the temperature inside the hive is about 10 degrees cooler than outside. And apparently what the bees do is they rotate duties. So the bees that cool the hive one day are the bees that gather the honey the next day. Isn't that fabulous? A positive effect of teamwork in a simple thing as bees. God created humanity to be a team. Teamwork is God's idea. Church is a team sport. We're shortly going to be changing our building. That's a team sport too. On the day in January when we start, Colin is not going to turn up with the plans in one hand and a sledgehammer in the other. We're not going to say, right, Colin, right, love, it's all up to you now. We'll see you in the summer. Off you go. Work hard. Enjoy. Now, he's good, but I think it might take a little longer if it's just Colin and his sledgehammer. We're going to need all sorts of skills to get the job done. Bricklayers and plasterers and plumbers and gas engineers, I don't know, and electricians and painters and tea makers. That's really important when you've got builders in. Clearer-uppers, chair movers, hall setter-uppers. We're going to need more than one person to get the job done. Everyone is needed. Not one role is more important than the other. Remember the story in Bible, if I were just a hand, if I were just a mouth, if I were just an eye, all are needed. Teamwork is important. So I'd like to ask a rhetorical question as we kind of think about closing today. Is where are you in our team? Where are you? Everyone is important. Everyone is called to work in our team. Everyone's job is different. We're not all called to stand at the front and preach. Some of us are called to pray. Some of us are called to support. Where are you in our team? Where could you be? How can you strive to be part of what we want to build here in this community? It's a team effort, is vision. It's a team effort together. I dream of a church where the love of God in people's hearts is so strong that gossip and backbiting is rejected, where people are talked up and not talked down, where unity is more important than winning an argument, where personal preference always gives way to divine purpose, and our desires always make way for God's will. We dream of a church where the people meet together where and when it suits God's purpose in reaching the lost, where the weight of the work does not rest on the shoulders of a few, and everyone shares the load and plays their part. If you're not involved in our team at the moment, I'd like to encourage you to think of joining in. And if you are, I'd like to encourage you to keep on going. We're all in this together. And it's not just about what jobs or roles you do. It's about us growing together, growing towards one another, and allowing God to use us to build what he wants in this place. So may God grant us growth in all areas, and may he have the glory by us being the church here. Amen. Amen.